Amen. That was good. Thank you, Brother Bingham. Amen. How many are glad to be in church tonight? Amen. I'm glad to be in church tonight. Amen. And thank God for his goodness and his blessings. Amen. How many of you have seen God do some good things in your life this week already? Praise the Lord. Amen. How many drove on I-35 this week? Right, well then you know there's a real God because you got back safely, amen? And you're here tonight, amen? God's been good, God's been good. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bibles. The book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 1 in your Bibles. It looks like summer's coming on, but as soon as I think summer's coming on, then it gets cold again, right? And winter comes back. It's kind of odd to see green grass, but yet it's still like cold as January out there. So we're just going to have to get a little used to it. Now, you know that tornado season is coming, right? I mean, it wouldn't be tornado season if it wasn't more Oklahoma, right? I mean, the two just kind of are synonymous. They go together. So, I will give you my tornado speech tonight, okay? And that is, we do have a storm shelter out here. It only holds 28 people, so the first come, first serve. Amen? And so it depends on how fast you are. But we do always just prepare for this and just let everybody know that if there's ever an alarm or ever a siren that goes off during this time of year, we're just going to be wise and go back out to the storm shelter. Amen? And you say, have we ever had to do that? We've had to do that before. And I know at least two services. One of them, we were down there, and it was right before the service, about 10 till, and we went down there, and we saw Miss Marilyn's car in the parking lot. But she was not down in the storm shelter. And I said, where did Miss Marilyn go? And we got out and came in here, and she was just sweeping the foyer and, you know, just having a good old time. I said, Miss Marilyn, there's a tornado coming. She said, oh, my goodness. She dropped her broom and came with us down into the storm shelter. So I always like to just let you know that we live in Moore, Oklahoma, all right? And we don't want to be like Elijah going up in a whirlwind just yet, amen? So we'll always keep that open for you, especially this season, and just keep that in the back of your mind for church services. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to begin verse 12 here through this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is exhorting young Timothy, his protege in the ministry, and he's giving us a charge as Timothy prepares to go into the ministry and as he's going to serve the Lord. Verse 12 begins here. Follow along tonight as I read. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Isn't that a good thought? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, the Apostle Paul felt like he was the biggest sinner of all. He felt like nobody was a bigger sinner than he was. And but he says here, verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, O Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. And notice this next phrase, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, let's pray tonight. We'll get into the message. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we need you and your blessings and your power tonight as we open the Bible and teach and preach thy word tonight. We pray that, Lord, tonight you'd help us open our hearts, Lord, to your word. And Lord, what you're trying to say to us through thy word tonight. Speak to us, Holy Spirit of God. Lord, meet with us tonight. Give us a recharge, Lord, for the week where we can open our hearts, Lord, to this old darkened world that we live in, that we can see souls come to know Christ, Lord, in our faithfulness and our love to you. So, Lord, take thy word tonight. Use it in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, may truth find a lodging place in our hearts and our minds this night. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul, he's giving essentially Timothy, this young preacher in the ministry, he's giving him his testimony. And he's telling him, Timothy, I used to live a different life than what I live now. And by the way, if you can say that same thing, then thank God for the goodness and the grace of God. Amen? You know, it reminds me of the one guy who said, he said, I know I'm not all I should be. He said, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? And I think the Apostle Paul could say amen to that simple phrase. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. God comes into our lives when we're saved and begins a miraculous change in our life. Isn't it good? Amen. It's not something that you and I can create of our own. It's not wrought of man. It's wrought of the hand of God. And the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts and our lives. And, you know, it seems like whenever I hear a sermon that's just Spirit-filled and powerful, it just works in my heart and in my life. I don't know what that is, but it's God working in me. And you know what? God is desiring to work in us greater and greater. So Paul says to Timothy here, he said, the only thing good about me is the grace of God and my faith in him. That's it. That's all. And by the way, that's all you need. Amen? The grace of God and faith in God. And he says that the grace of God here in verse 14 was exceeding abundant. It wasn't just a little bit. He said, I got a whole lot of grace from God. And so young Timothy is listening to all this. He's young in the faith. He hasn't preached or pastored or probably given many sermons yet, but he's getting ready to go to serve the Lord. And so he needs to know that God's going to be with him no matter what. Can I tell you, you and I need to know that. We need to know that God's going to be with us no matter what. Have there ever been times in your life when you really felt really close to God? And then there's been times in our life, I think if we're all honest, where we couldn't find God at all. We didn't know where he was. He seemed like he just disappeared. Can I tell you, it's those times in our life. You say, has God disappeared? No, he didn't. His promise says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. But sometimes those are the times when we need the greatest faith in God, when we can't feel him, as opposed to the times when we know we're really close to God. And so faith is this thing that causes us to go through. This is what Paul is encouraging Timothy on. But now he goes to verse number 18 and he talks to Timothy and he's saying something about his service for the Lord here. And he says, this charge I commit unto thee, Timothy. Now he's giving him a charge, isn't he? He's saying, okay, I'm going to send you forth. We're going to send you forth. And as you go out, I'm going to give you a charge. And this is what God would have you to do. And notice what he said it was. He said that the things that went on before you, everything that God did in you, everything that God has already done in this world, going all the way back to creation, he said, those are the things before thee, everything that God has already done in your heart, in your life, by them that you might war good warfare. He's saying, Timothy, you got to war a good warfare. Now, I'll tell you what, I wish the Christian life were not a battlefield or a warfare. I wish the Christian life were like a rose garden. Amen? I wish it were simple and easy. But can I tell you what? The devil swallows up those who do not grab a hold of what Paul's teaching Timothy here. The devil swallows up those who don't have a desire to war a good warfare. You say, now, really? Is the Christian life a warfare? Yeah, it is. And the reason we know it's a warfare is because there is an active, real devil. And the Bible says he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not passive. He is very active. Satan is after us. And he'll swallow us up in the warfare if we don't learn how to have a good warfare and a war, a battle for the Lord. By the way, rest, that comes in heaven. Amen. Amen? This life is not our rest. Did you know that? This life is a life to serve God actively, faithfully, and to war a good warfare. And by the way, it's a good warfare, isn't it? It's not a bad one. It's not a regretful one. It's not one where we live with anger and hatred and bitterness in our heart. Oh, no. It's a good warfare. It's a warfare that we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do not have to see the old devil win in our lives. But there are some areas that Satan is trying to warfare and trying to fight and battle in. And I want to just give you some of those things tonight that we might be aware of these things that cause us to be wiped out in the war. You know, the most vulnerable position for a person in a warfare is to be running away from the battle. You put yourself in harm's way right there by running away from the battle. God says, I want to load you up with weapons of our warfare so that you can win and war a good warfare. By the way, Christian, we are supposed to be warriors, soldiers. You know, Jesus even said, endure hardness as a good soldier. He didn't say get hard in your heart. He said endure some things. In other words, be like a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the forces of evil in this world are strong, our God is stronger. That's right. Amen. But you know, a lot of times Christians, we're just kind of playing around. We're kind of laying on the battlefield. We're just doing nothing. And you know, God's trying to exhort us. He's trying to say, like he did, like Paul did Timothy here, hey, we got a warfare to fight. Now, let me give you some things. First of all, let me say the devil is after our morality. The devil is after our morality in the world that we live in today. You know, it's discouraging when you expect more people to be dishonest than you do expect them to be honest. But we live in that kind of world, don't we? We live in a kind of world where morality is not important. People have salved their consciences. We live in a time of moral relativism, when nothing is right, nothing is wrong. This world doesn't see anything as wrong. There are no fences between right and wrong. This idea of moral relativism, it doesn't really matter. What may be right to you may be wrong to somebody else. What might be right to me may be wrong to you. It's all relative. Let me tell you something. That's why God gave us his word, so we'll know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. God's given it to us in his word. If we have the desire to war that warfare, we can have victory in the Christian life. Amen. That warfare, it's more, morality doesn't matter anymore. You know, in the 1950s, do you know what the biggest problem was in the public schools? Bubblegum under the desks. Bubblegum in the classroom. I remember one time I got caught chewing bubblegum in class, and my teacher made me put my bubblegum on my nose. And I had to walk around with bubblegum on my nose. Anybody else get to do that? You did, Brother Watson? Well, you're in good company tonight. Amen. But that was the biggest problem in the 50s. Boy, I wish we could welcome that day back again. You know, the hippie movement moved in the 60s. Free sex, free love. All it was is Christians kind of quit warring a good warfare of morality. And can I tell you what? Look at what we have today. We have a culture of moral relativism. Right? There's no right. There's no wrong. No wonder atheism has become so strong, because people don't believe there's a truth and a God. Everything's relative anymore. And I say to you tonight, we have to war a good warfare against the forces that try to destroy morality. Amen. In our lives. I'm an old-fashioned dad. When my kids, whenever a boy, all my kids are grown up, but whenever a boy wanted to date my daughter, he had to come ask me. Amen? And they weren't going to go out on Lover's Lane. Amen? You say, man, you are a mean dad. That's exactly right. Amen? I want my kids to know there's a decent way to live. There's a moral principles by which you should be guided in your life. Amen. There is no wishy-washy up and down life. We're supposed to war a good warfare. Stand for what's right. Amen. And in our world today, we've lost sight of morality and decency in our society. What's happened? What's happened to it? Can I tell you, homosexuality is still wrong. It's still wrong. And by the way, have you noticed how immorality progresses worse and worse as time goes by? The standards of what's decent and right just get worse and worse. You know, used to be, nobody even thought of the transgender situation we have going on in our country today. Nobody would have thought that would ever happen. What's happened is we keep going into moral decadence deeper and deeper, and we keep slipping. Can I tell you who you are? You are who God made you. That's who you are. And you can think you're something different all you want. You know? I heard about a school where a young lady, a girl in the school, identified herself as a cat. and made the school board put a litter box in the bathroom. I'm kidding you not. I'm not kidding. Made them put a litter box in there. She could go around and answer questions from teachers with a meow. Now that, where has that come from? It's come from the degradation of morality. And you say, just when you think it can't get worse, watch. It gets worse. And you know what? I don't hear many preachers standing up against much of this stuff anymore. But you know what God said? God said, war, good warfare. Amen. Don't let morality or immorality overcome the world. You know, go look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. Go over just a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says here. It says here, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Boy, you could put the words 2024 right by that verse right there. That's where we're at. And somewhere along the line, Christians failed to war a good warfare against immorality. Amen. You say, preacher, do you think you're going to stem the tide of immorality? No, but I kind of feel like the little boy who was on the sandy seashore, it was full of starfish that had washed up on the shore, and the beach was just covered with starfish. And the little boy reached down and picked up one, started throwing starfish back into the ocean so they'd survive. And a man came along and said, you're not going to save all those starfish. And you know what he said? He said, I saved that one. I saved that one. Amen? Amen? Hey, listen, everything we can do to war a good warfare is going to help. Amen. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, morality is changing today, and we need to get back to God. God has standards of morality in the Bible. God has standards of what's right and wrong. You know, God even teaches, and you may think this is fuddy-duddy, but the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch woman.
That's right.
Amen. You say, boy, now I know you're old-fashioned. Yeah, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that go on today that are bringing people away from God.
Right. Yes.
And we cannot just roll over and play dead.
Amen.
We got to be like Timothy. War, good warfare.
Amen.
Just keep on fighting. Just keep on standing for what's right. The world may not like it, but let me tell you something. They're going to know the truth.
Amen.
And that's what matters. That's what matters. There's a second thing that we got to war a warfare on. The devil is warring a warfare against our purity. Our purity. You know, I want to tell you something. I believe a young person ought to stay pure until the day you get married.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't have sex or shack up with somebody before you get married.
Amen.
Amen. Don't do it. Why? God tells us that's the lust of the flesh. The devil desires to win this battle through our own lust. And we need to stay pure. We need to stay pure.
Amen.
There should be no reason why young people today, 12 years old, 11 years old, girls getting pregnant.
No,
should be no reason.
Right.
Somebody's not fighting a good fight.
Right.
And the devil's winning this war.
Yeah.
We just got to keep standing today. Keep on standing. It doesn't matter what the moral temperature of society is. It doesn't matter what the leadership in White House does, because we know they're not going to do anything. But what we ought to do is to just stand for what is right and put our feet in that cement and just stay right there. I think you can stand kindly, you know. You don't have to stand belligerent. You don't have to be mean and unkind. But God said we got to stand. Amen. Amen? And by the way, some people will think that you are mean and unkind if you stand. But God knows our heart, doesn't he? God knows our heart. And so he's saying here, hey, listen, keep pure. You know what? I grew up in a day when a preacher got up and preached a sermon. He said, girls, you know what high heels are for? He said, if a boy tries to put his hand on you in the car, you take that high heel off and hit him over the head with it. Amen. Where'd those days go? Where'd those days go? Where'd those days go where a young lady used to say, you can't kiss me until you marry me? I say the devil's fighting a battle against our purity. And you know what? I want to tell you something. When young people get married today, they have so much baggage that they bring into the marriage because they've done everything before marriage. And when they go into marriage, they have that same mindset and that same baggage going into marriage, and they carry that into the marriage. No wonder marriages have difficulty and trouble today. Right. Satan knows to get the minds of kids early. Yeah. War, good warfare. Just stand, Christian. Amen. How many times in Scripture does God teach us to just stand? Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You say you may never be popular. Popularity shouldn't be our goal. Pleasing the Lord should be our goal. Letting him smile on our face. That's what's important. Purity. Purity. Hey, don't shack up. Amen? And by the way, young people, you'd be surprised today. It's said that over 30% of the young people in public schools today have tried homosexuality. You know what we ought to do? We need to fight a good fight, war, good warfare, stand against what's wrong. Amen. You know, 50 years ago, every preacher used to stand. 50 years ago, every Christian used to know what was right. Thank God for those old-fashioned dads and those old-fashioned moms, you know. You aren't going out of the house looking like that. Amen. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Thank God for that. What was that? They're just simply warring a good warfare against immorality. And because the devil is fighting our purity. He's fighting us. And so we got to keep that in mind. We got to always keep in mind that God wants us to just keep standing and just keep fighting. The world may not appreciate it. Someone else may not recognize it, but God will see it. And isn't that who we're trying to please? We're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Our purity. Go to James chapter 4. With me, if you would. The book of James, chapter 4. I like you to see things in Scripture so you know it's not just me saying it. Amen? James, chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Notice what it says. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? See, the old devil knows that if we allow lust to control us, it'll destroy purity. Amen? Lust is the devil's tool to get us to quit fighting and warring a good warfare. So we have to put off lust. You know what the Bible says? The Bible reminds us in James chapter 4, verse 7, resist Satan, and he will flee. Amen. That's the promise of God, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Resist Satan, and he will flee. Amen. Don't follow what the world says. The world just keeps getting worse and worse. And by the way, they're not at peace. They're not at happiness. They don't know Christ. And then sometimes a Christian will fall into the mantras of the world and accept the worldly philosophies that the world produces. And can I tell you what they bring us? They bring us heartache and defeat. Because when you're saved, you're in a different army. You're on God's side. And we're supposed to be standing for God. You know, I believe that if America would get back to just doing right and standing for God and standing for truth again, I believe we could influence the whole world. I believe the whole world would see a difference in us. But you know what's sad to say? A lot of the countries, and by the way, America used to be a nation where the rest of the world looked at and we brought them up morally. But that is switching. That's changing. Missionaries tell us that over on the foreign field, they have to combat this issue of the natives see Americans and they're even Christian Americans and their morality and their decency is at a low level. And it's even lower than many of the foreign countries where the missionary is trying to serve. And it's confusing to many of the natives in these foreign countries because they hold America in high esteem. But we disappoint them. We disappoint them because we've accepted continual lower standards of morality. You know, I'm reminded that God doesn't change in his word. Man changes, but God doesn't change. If God doesn't change, let's just stay right where he is. And let's let God fight for us. There's a third thing the devil's trying to war against in the world today, and that is the mind. Boy, the devil's trying to affect the mind. He's trying to take the mind and give you all kinds of false ideas when the truth is God's word. God gave us his word because his word is meant to fashion our minds to thinking like Jesus. When we look into this book, we see Christ. And you know what, Christian? That's why every day we got to be in this book. That's why every day we got to open it up, read our Bibles, and pray because it forms our mind. Because this world's going to battle our mind. Amen? The world's going to battle our mind. And you know, Paul's encouraging Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, and I think he's kind of in this sense of, you know, I'm going to pass on one day. I'm older than you, Timothy, and I'm going to pass on. And you're going to be the next generation to stand up and fight this good war, fight, to war against satanic influences. And can I tell you what? It's the same in our generation today. We've got to let God and his word form our thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus' mind was the mind of a servant. But in the world, we see the mind of selfishness. It's a whole different thing. Jesus told us in his word, don't be like the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And God's trying to teach us war that warfare where Satan is trying to get our minds and control our minds. Oh, you know, the Apostle Paul knew, and he told Timothy, he said, you know, if I don't keep my mind in control and keep me in self-control, then I'll become a castaway. And you know what? He didn't want that in his life. He feared that in his life. He didn't want to be a castaway. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be. And he feared that. And so he said, I keep me, my body, under subjection. You know, this whole body wants to rule and control us. It wants to be the boss. Amen? You say, the body wants to be the boss? Yeah, let's set a chocolate cake in front of you. Amen? Right. Yeah. Pick something else, right? Put a chocolate cake in front of you. You may not be hungry, but all of a sudden you start feeling hungry. Amen? Some of you, it's brownies. Or ice cream. I better quit cheesecake. Amen to that. Yeah. I better quit preaching like this or y'all leave. You won't stay for the rest of the message. Amen? But listen, it's so true that every day we need a mind conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the television ads are trying to form our mind. What goes on in television is trying to form our mind. It's, I can do all these wicked, ungodly things, but I'm just as good as anybody. And can I tell you what? That philosophy will infiltrate any person who's willing to accept it. But God's teaching us the devil's warring against us. And we've got to know the difference. And we've got to have the armor of God. That's the best thing about this warfare, is that we don't have to fight it ourselves. God has given us all the weapons that we need to see Satan tuck tail and run. Amen? Let me show a few of them to you. Go to James chapter 4. Go to James chapter 4. Notice verse 7 in this passage. Notice what God said here. He said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that a great promise? Resist the devil. This is our warfare, is we just say no. That word resist means to be obstinate. It means, devil, no, I'm not doing what you want me to do. Amen. It means to be obstinate to the devil. Resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee. He'll flee from you. Then verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What a promise. What a promise. Draw nigh to God. You know, see, it's kind of like, Lord, the old devil's trying to battle me, but I want to draw close to you. And then what does the Lord do? He comes and draws close to us. Well, that's a blessing. And you remember I taught Sunday school about how when Satan tried to tempt the devil, or when Satan tried to tempt the Lord three times, how eventually the devil had to leave, didn't he? Because he could not cause Jesus to be submissive to him. Jesus was obstinate to the devil. And what did the devil do? He had to leave. You know what? It's the same with Christians today because we have Christ in us. God lives inside of us. And because of that, we can stand in him in this world and not allow the influences of this world to attack us. So I say to you tonight, let's let the Lord control our lives. Let's Let's go to the weapons of our warfare. And by the way, they're not carnal. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And notice here that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but God's given us more powerful weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Boy, I'll tell you what, those are three powerful words. Mighty through God. Powerful words. They're mighty through God. And to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice verse 5, casting down imaginations. There's the warfare against the mind. Casts those imaginations down. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, anything that appears lofty and high, but turns itself against God. God says, don't be suckered by its loftiness. Don't be succumbed by its seemingly impressive or intellectual intelligence. Don't be impressed by that. That's not impressive. What's impressive is when man can yield himself and submit himself to an almighty God. That's what we should be going after and seeking for in our lives. So we have all the weapons that we need. And all we got to do is resort to those weapons and just keep right on standing. Keep right on standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the world may not appreciate a Christian who stands. And I realize that sometimes a Christian may face a little dirt thrown at him. Sometimes a Christian is mocked or laughed at. And we feel this desire to want to fit in. But can I tell you what? That's why God's given us his church. Because his church is the place where we get the word to be strong. Because we're not of the world anymore. We're not in the devil's hand. We're a peculiar people, the Bible calls us. Set apart to God for his purpose and his glory. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we have a whole different set of thinking, morals, and purity and decency that are guiding our life. Amen. And we're using the weapons that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to have victory over the warfare that the devil throws at us. Boy, he'll throw it at us. The desire to want to make it to that finish line, pure and clean, should be the desire of every Christian. The infection of the world, I don't want it to infect me. Amen. It's just like, you know, whenever COVID's around, everybody's got to put a mask on. You know, we don't want COVID, but yet we'll allow the world to affect our mind and our life. We allow the TV to infect us spiritually and allow, and by the way, the internet can be a great big destructive device that Satan can use today if we're not aware and ready to fight that battle. Oh, where is the Christianity today that is going to use the weapons of our warfare? Where we go to God, not carnal weapons, not in our own flesh, but in God who is in us. He gives us the victory and helps us to win any battle that comes to us. And then we enter into a day when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That ought to be the words that we hear when we're weary in the battle, or when we're weary of standing sometimes, and when it seems like good just cannot peek through, we need to just keep on warring a good warfare. Paul was passing off the scene, and Timothy was coming on, and he needed to know from the old soldier what the old soldier knew. Because the old soldier had said those words, "I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Amen? So let's decide tonight. Let's decide that there may be some warfare in our life. There may be some devil kind of trying to slip in. Can I tell you, we ought to, with a diligent and a faithful heart, war that good warfare that the Lord wants us, and see God give us victory in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Just a simple message from God's word tonight, but yet applied. It can really change our life. Are you warring a good warfare?